We will just turn in our Bibles here to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And we'll read from verse 1 there tonight. Again, we're just kind of coming through Israel's history as we go through Samuel. Their days that they had no open vision. The word of the Lord was not clear to them. And God sent a prophet to kind of restore some things. But here they are rejecting the messenger. Not really the messenger, they're rejecting God. And the way that he's actually trying to rule them, and they want a king, and they have received their first king, Saul. And Samuel just continuously to remind them that this is something that God did not want you to have. But even though you've done what you've done, Samuel told him the Lord won't forsake his people. And he also said, God forbid that I would cease to pray for you, even though you've done something that that you weren't supposed to do. So as we go forward here, we'll kind of see where Saul begins to get in more trouble with God, as we just kind of read forward here in Israel, in chapter 13 here. 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 1 says this: Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore, and the multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Haven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Now the children of Israel are on the run here. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. All the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now, let's just, if you have your Bibles, I just wanted to flip back to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We'll pick back up at verse 8. Now, what we're seeing here is the people were in fear. Children of Israel were trembling. They were with Saul at Gilgal. And if I just, I got something. We're going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 10, and actually I'm going to start at verse 1 there. He had some very specific instructions that he was supposed to follow, and he failed to follow that. Brother Branham actually identified Gilgal as a place of confession. So here they were, in Gilgal waiting for the prophet, this place of confession, and oftentimes if we just really look at that, there are many people that get started with the Lord at the place of confession, and they get a little fearful about some things that's getting ready to happen. Like there's some if you, let's say you you're coming to the Lord and you know you're in a relationship that you're not supposed to be in, you confess that you need God, but at that place you get afraid as to what the person's going to say when you go back home and try to get out of the relationship. So you actually turn around and pretty much take your confession back and go right back into that lifestyle. There are others that face other things, like some guy maybe want to get out of a gang or something like that. And at his place of confession, he might get a little afraid that, look, I don't know if God's going to protect me. When I go back and tell these guys I don't want to be in a gang, I don't know what they're going to do to me. So they'll actually go back on their confession. See, let's not be weary, you know, at our place of confession. If God brought us there, God will take us through that, right? Amen. And we can't stop at our place of confession. We got to keep going past that, you know, go further in God. But here we see something. It said that Saul, that they waited 7 days. Now, the reason that they did that, 1 Samuel 10 tells us this. Verse 1, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses in sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Now here the prophet has already told him that the animals have been found that he came looking for, so that's given him comfort. Now let's go on. Verse 3 says, then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee there three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine, right? So the prophet's giving him plain instruction as to what he's going to see, a vision of I already see it in a vision. I'm telling you what you're going to see. These three men, they're going to, three men, three kids, three loaves of bread, you know, and you can look at all them threes, you know, a three is the number of completion, perfection. Seven is completion. Three is the number of perfection. So here these threes are in here, three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids and another carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. So that's the second thing that he would see. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Now, there's three different things that the prophet is telling him, so he ought to be convinced that what God has spoke through the prophet is absolutely correct. Okay? He should have been convinced of that. You know, the animals have been found. You're going to meet three men going to Bethel or going to church. You're going to meet the prophets going to prophesy, and then you're actually going to get anointed to prophesy with them. So the experience alone should have been enough to keep him grounded. Oh, my. I wonder how many of us have had experiences with God, but we still have lost our footing, right? The experience alone that we've had with God should have kept us grounded, just kept us settled in God. But look at what Saul does here. We'll see what all he tells. Samuel tell him one more thing here. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are coming to thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Verse 8, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. Now, he's already telling him you're going to get to a spot, Gilgal. And they said, now you're going to have to wait there 7 days. Now, he didn't tell them all the other things that would happen. He didn't tell them the fear that they'd be living under in them 7 days. But all they had to do is just wait. God don't tell us everything, but we still got to have faith. And we just got to hold on to it. Sometimes it don't look like it's gonna work out, but we just got to wait until God changes things. And the other thing about that, don't get ahead of God, right? Keep God in front of you. I mean, Lord, I'm just waiting. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn, but I'm just going to wait right here. I'm not going to move out in front of you. See, I mean, it's very important that we learn to do that, church. Oftentimes, waiting is one of the most difficult things for the church to do nowadays. Very hard for people to wait on God. Very difficult for people to be patient with God. I mean, like I say, we live in this microwave age. Everything is done so fast, right? Everything, but I mean, we can't wait on nothing. We're going back over to 1 Samuel 13, but yesterday I was coming out of the, leaving a restaurant, and the way I was positioned, man, there was a lot of traffic on the street, and they didn't have a light there, so when you're making your left turn, you have to wait till both sides kind of clears on PGA Boulevard there, and as you're waiting to turn out, you have other people turning into where you are, so you got to wait for everything to clear up, and they have the right of way. So this truck was behind me, and they just could not wait. I heard that big old truck just get over in the other lane and turn and go down the other way, and they went all the way. They made a right turn. I'm trying to make a left, and it was right behind me to make a left. They made a right turn, went all the way down, made a U-turn, came back, and by the time they got back to where I was making a left turn, I was right behind them. Right? Why you waste all that gas and all that time, you know, to go do something like that just because you couldn't wait? Right? Yeah, I mean, and a big old 8-cylinder like that, you can't be driving it like that. You know, the gas man gonna love you. You keep driving it like that, right? But people are so impatient they can't wait. And when we get like that with one another, well, oftentimes it's much worse with God. We'll pray a prayer, and if that thing ain't answered by the time we say amen, we already got another plan. And we might as well say amen. If we pray and ask God, if God does not answer immediately, we already know what we're going to do. That is wrong, church. We should, Lord, I'm going to wait till I hear from you. It might take 10 days. It might be 21 days. Daniel had to wait. I'm just going to wait, Lord. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to wait till I hear from you. Well, we get ahead of God, y'all. And when we get ahead of God, we make more mistakes than we ever, I mean, we didn't need to make them, you know, but we make more mistakes by getting ahead of them. Look at what happens here. So we see in 1 Samuel 10 there that, I mean, the prophet done laid it out so plain to him. This going to happen. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. And he knew it was thus saith the Lord. Now, you go to Gilgal, and the prophet say, I'm going to be the one that's going to do the burnt offering. I'm going to be the one. When I get there, I'll do the burnt offerings. Let's look at this in Scripture. Oh, Jesus. Verse 8 in 1 Samuel 13. Actually, let's go back to verse 7. Let's look at the people. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. Now you can imagine the pressure that's on him, looking at all the people afraid, okay? And it tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now, in my mind, I just imagine. Now, Samuel told him to wait 7 days. I can imagine all these people being afraid that he probably tells them, now, Samuel say, wait 7 days, wait 7 days. Wait 7 days. I guarantee them people probably got to 12:01 a.m. This is the seventh day. Samuel not here. What are we going to do? Right? That type of pressure. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As a leader, Saul being a leader, he can't cannot allow that type of pressure to make him make a bad decision. He has to stay with what the prophet said. It's the same thing today, church. No matter what, as a pastor, we're going to have to, just as a leader of the church, I got to stay what the prophet said. Right? It might be a lot of other pressure to do this and do that. No. Stay with what the prophet said. Amen. It's very important to do that. God don't send a prophet just to send a prophet. God has purpose for sending a prophet. Amen. God has, that's a very unique office, you know. So we thank God for it, but here, you know, Saul could not do that. Look at now, let's go on and see. Let's look at this. Verse 9 says, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. Now, the prophet told him, wait until I come. And the prophet said, I will offer the burnt offering. What Saul continues to do, we read this chapter 11, when Saul made the comment, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel. Saul keeps putting himself in front of the word. Saul keeps putting himself in front of the prophet. The word of the Lord is revealed to the prophet. See, and I'm going to tell you, you have many of Sauls today that will put their word in front of what the prophet is saying. You can't do that. Your word should be agreeing with what the prophet is saying, because the prophet is only saying what the Bible is saying. Amen. See? So, I mean, God has an order the way that he does things, but, you know, you have many of Sauls today that get, and that's why everybody gonna, you know, whoever ministers the word of God, and just anybody with a gift in their life, any gift, you would get anointed. The Spirit of God will anoint you in your gift. But the main thing that you got to do is make sure you don't get people caught up in your personal anointing. You want it to be under God's anointing, see, not your personal anointing, see. But here, you know, the prophet already gave him specific instruction. This is the way we're going to do this. Just wait for me. When I come, I will offer the burnt offering. And actually, Saul was out of place. Out of place to make this offering. He was not supposed to do this. But fear made him do it. Look, came to pass, that is verse 7 again. And Saul said, bring here the burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. Look at what happened. And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And can you imagine what he must have been looking like after this has been consumed, right? And then Samuel walks up and just looks at him. Look at the scripture. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. How you gonna walk up after you just disobeyed the word of God? God bless you. That don't work, church. And I mean, sometimes, you know, I've said it in the past, sometimes you can do some things, and I'm going to tell you something, sorry won't be good enough. You say something, you can do something, and even though you've said it and done it, and I didn't mean to do it, sorry will not be good enough to correct it. Look at what happens here. I mean, this man made a crucial mistake, but this God knew the pattern that was in this. I mean, he would have kept doing this over and over, always forsaking God's word. We're not there yet, but we're going to read later on about Saul and his life. He made a law that anybody that was a medium or a fortune teller, something like that, that would tell fortunes, that person would have to be killed if they did that. He made a law. Well, the same law that he made, that man broke his own law. Went and found a medium to tell him, when Samuel died, he went and found a medium, please bring this man up from the dead so I can talk to him again to try to get some answers. This man will not follow the word. Not his own word he won't follow. God's word he won't follow. this man will not follow the word. That's a pattern that we're seeing here. God help us. God help us. Look at this. And I got to say it that way. God has a certain way to do things, church, and we got to follow the order the way God does it. Don't try to do anything outside that order. Stay with the way God does it. Very important. Look at this. Verse 11 says, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? Like he could hide it, right? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Well, none of that mattered. It didn't matter, right? The thing was, you stay right here until I come. Let God deal with the rest of that. If I didn't show up on that seventh day, then, you know, God, you told me to stay right here. The prophet said this, that's what you're supposed to do. But he went with a different plan, and look at what happens. He gave all of his excuses as to why he did it. Now, verse 12 says, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, acting in fear, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I forced myself. I didn't want to do this, but I made myself do it. Now, I just, Lord knows that, like I was telling you all a few weeks ago, Christians, we can't lie. We Christians, we can't lie. We can't lie about stuff. God gave us an example in this hour. I mean, God's prophet, like I was telling you about them pecans that he had, and he took them back to the border, 3.5-hour drive, you know. He passed the border, and the man says, do you have any pecans, any goods? And, no, I ain't got nothing. Drive for 3.5 hours, 2:00 in the morning, get to his destination, pull out all the luggage, and then when he get to the bottom of the luggage, it's pecans in there. Most of us would have just, oh, well, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. Not the prophet. Son, I need you to ride with me. Daddy, I'm tired, I'm sleepy. I know, son, but I need you to ride with me. Say, take the pecans, went back to the border, say, I told y'all I didn't have them. 3.5-hour drive back, told y'all I didn't have them. I found out that I did have these pecans. I'm sorry. Ted is, oh, no problem, sir. No problem. You can go on your way. Turned around and went back. Had to make that thing right. Now, you know what? I believe the reason Brother Branham did that, because he knew that if the devil had any little piece of anything that he could have on him, then that would hinder the prayers. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had a loved one that was sick, or you were sick, trying to get there in the prophet's presence because you knew the ministry that God gave him, and he had done something like this right before he came to pray for you, you would want them to go back and get them pecans, because I got a need that I need to take care of. Look, if you want him to do it, God wants you to do it. He wants you to take care of those little things in your life that seem to be causing a hindrance. If you want your prayers answered, take care of the little things. The Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's not big things, little things. Look at it. Look at it. He said he forced himself to offer a burnt offering. And I'm going to tell you another thing. An excuse only satisfies the person that's making the excuse. The person that's hearing it is not satisfied by hearing it. Right? They don't get it. It does not put a smile on their face. It's not anything that they can rejoice in or anything. The excuse only satisfies the person that's making the excuse. The person that's hearing it, they saying in their mind, undependable. Mm-hmm. They're just, as soon as they see your name come across, not dependable, not faithful. Now that's what human beings are thinking. What do you think God might be? Every time we give an excuse, it's only satisfying. That's why it's good. Don't even give it. Just, you got me. I'm wrong. I failed. I'm sorry. That's what God want to hear. Then he can work with that. Now, if he keep hearing that every time something come up, you got me. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Undependable. They'll confess, but they ain't going to do nothing else but confess. All right, let's keep going. Verse 13 says, and Samuel said to Saul, Lord Jesus, these words just bother me. This man gave all these excuses, and look at what the prophet said to him. Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Pretty much, man, that was just dumb, what you just did. All the excuses that you made, that didn't satisfy nothing. You have done foolishly. Look at it. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. He didn't tell everybody else. He didn't tell all the other people that was running and trembling, but Saul knew what God told him through the mouth of the prophet. Which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, just by being obedient. A few more hours of waiting. A few more minutes maybe of waiting. Because Samuel came right at the end of the offering, when he offered his burnt offering. Right at the end, this is when Samuel showed up. Now, if he would have just waited maybe another hour, look at what God would have done. God would have established his kingdom forever. Verse 14 says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. Well, we thank God for grace. We thank God for grace. I mean, if God just did this, if he turned his back on us on some of the things that we done in church, we'd be in a lot of trouble. Thank God for his grace. But don't frustrate him. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Samuel rose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah, Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah, Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual, and another company turned the way to Beth Haran. Another company turned to the way, the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Now, one of the big things that Saul missed here is instruction on how to overcome in this battle. Because he got ahead of God, he never got instruction. He made the prophet so upset that the prophet just, you've done foolishly, and just left him right there. And told him, God has already rejected you. So whatever happened, that happened, but God has rejected you as king. As I thought about this, I just wanted to maybe go to another scripture tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. But Saul is, again, he did something that he was not supposed to do. Let me just see something here before I go there. Yeah, let me read a quote here before we go to 2 Chronicles 26. Let's just read something out of the Rejected King. The Rejected King. And I want to just show you something here. Samuel, it was his responsibility to do that, to do the burnt offering. And if you all remember back in the scripture, when Saul even got called, when he went looking for the animals that were lost and everything, and he got to the city where the prophet was, and they told him, say, look, hey, could you tell us where the prophet is? We want to see the man of God. Say, yeah, he's coming right before you. And nobody's even going to eat until he go up and do the offering and do all these other things. Nobody's even going to eat. He knew what the protocol was. But yet, he got away from that protocol and did it his way. Oh, no. That's not the way God wants it done. We got to follow according to his word. Another person that just kind of got out of line one day, a king that got out of line, was King Uzziah. But I'll read about him in a little bit. Let's just read this out of Rejected King. It says, but then we find out then that because that Saul took upon himself, Samuel was a little late one day to offer the burnt offerings, which was only legal for him to do. See, it was only legal for the prophet to do it. But here, Saul took it upon himself. So he's way out of the will of God. It was only legal for him to do, under the inspiration of God. And Saul said, why do we have to wait on him? He went and offered it himself. He started leading the people himself instead of letting God lead the people. Now remember, God was going to speak through the prophet, tell the prophet what the instructions were for the battle, but Saul got ahead of all of that. All right? He went and offered it himself. He started leading the people himself instead of letting God lead the people. There's where he made his mistake. And I'm going to tell you, if the man would have just been honest with himself, he couldn't bring the people through that battle. He needed God's intervention. Well, why not just wait on God? You know what? There's things that we absolutely need God to do for us. Let's not get ahead of it. Wait on him. Wait on him. God can speak in so many ways. Minister in the pulpit, he'll speak on a Sunday morning. You come to church on Wednesday night, God will speak. Friday night, God will speak. You turn on the radio, God will speak. You pick up the mail, God will speak, right? God, just so many ways that God can speak to you. Driving down the street, billboard. Walking down the street, seeing somebody with a shirt on that got a message on the shirt, and wow. Then look at it that way. God can speak in so many ways, but we have to learn to wait on the Lord. Just wait, church. Look at this. He says, he went and offered it himself. He started leading the people himself instead of letting God lead the people. There's where he made his mistake. That's where every church that's ever been organized yet made their fatal mistake. I've never seen an organization. I've took history. I've read all the way from the pre-Nicene fathers and Josephus and all the early historians. I've never seen one time where a church ever come into a great spiritual revival and fell and got away from it. That ever rose again. I want you to show me where it was at. God, if they won't follow the light, God will lay it right up on the shelf and let somebody. God's able these stones to rise children unto Abraham. I'm skipping down to E51, just keep on going. But then when Saul wouldn't wait on the Lord no more, Samuel turned right away from him. Remember, and the first time, not the second time, but the first time that Saul took upon himself to take over the service of the Lord, Samuel turned his back on him and walked away from him. He didn't even get a second chance. Look at it. And the first time that the church lets their leaders take over to lead the people, the Holy Spirit gets right away from them. And the very first time that you go being led by man instead of God, the Holy Spirit will get away from you too. Let the Holy Spirit lead. That's what we need, is leadership. And God gave us the leader, and we don't hear it. Here not long ago, I was reading, Brother Gene brought it to me, I believe, in one of the magazines about these geese leaving Canada. And they have a leader. And if this leader isn't a real good leader, they haven't picked a good one. See, if he's not a good leader, if they haven't picked a good one, He will take them anywhere. Yeah, Lord Jesus, ain't nothing but the truth. He will take them anywhere. Take them over the mountain way, and they'll all die. Here, some time ago, a bunch flew an old gander that didn't know where he was going, didn't know his directions. His instinct wasn't just right. He flew a bunch of geese all the way to England, and they've never been able to come back. Their nature is to migrate every year, and they just get together and squawk and holler and carry on over there in England, and they don't know how to get back home. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles 26, but, you know, Brother Branham talks about those geese and how, you know, they know who their leader is. They know who their leader is. And it says sometimes, you know, what happens is that you get one of the little, I think he called a little drake, was born on the river, and just that year, he was just born. And just like all the other little, you know, geese were born, he was born too. But at a certain time, this fellow was born with something. And at a certain time of the year, when it's time for them to go south, and, you know, they're trying to get away from that cold weather, they're like, okay, now, we know we got to go, but it's something in this fella that he just began to kind of holler out, you know, and it's something in his scream that everybody know this is the one that we're supposed to be following. Now, and Brother Randall said he has never in his life ever gone south before. He was just born last year. But he got something on the inside of him to lead the other geese to safety. It's just in him. You can imagine, just like in the human race, maybe the little geese get a little jealous about that. And he decided one year, I'm going to squawk. And I'm going to get me some geese to follow me. But that's what he was just talking about. They went taking off, and this geese led them anywhere. You get the wrong leader, you'll be led anywhere. We need to know where we're going, right? We really need to know what's the purpose? What are we doing? What's the direction? What is it all about? What's the goal? What's the objective? Right? Amen. I think it's Lord Jesus, if we were all honest, you know, with ourselves, we've seen this just, you know, this not just Bible stories. We've seen this manifested even today. Denominational churches, a lot of them going, I mean, they're squawking and going in the wrong direction. And they're going to get so far out, they're not going to be able to come back. Stay with this word, church. Stay with this word. Saul put himself in front of God's commandment. God's commandments came through his prophet. Saul put himself in front of that, and he did it his own way. And look, and I don't care how holy it might have looked. Well, it's the same thing you do, and that's maybe his attitude. You lay it out this way, and I just lay it out the same way. But God didn't call you to lay it out that way. Look at what happens here in 2 Chronicles. We have another king that has the same problem. This is chapter 26, verse 16. This is King Uzziah. King Uzziah says here, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Same thing with Saul. His heart got lifted up, but it's to his destruction. Let me tell you, anybody that get their heart lifted up, it's going to be for their destruction. The Bible says, pride cometh before the fall. And a haughty spirit. Haughty spirit before destruction. See, haughty spirit is one that you can't correct. I'm going to just say this. I've been calling out in prayer. I've been rebuking the spirit of rebellion. Rebuking the spirit of rebellion. We don't know it, but the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's a pretty bad spirit. When we rebel against God's word, Oftentimes people might think it's not me. I'm just the messenger. And you know how people say, "Don't shoot the messenger." Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the messenger, right? I hear what the Lord's saying. I just say what God tells me to say. And look, if I don't say it, I'm going to get in trouble with God. And I'd rather be in trouble with man than be in trouble with God, right? I mean, as the watchman on the watchtower, I have to warn the people of things that might be coming in. That's my job to do the. You want a good watchman in the watchtower. You don't want a person that can barely see. Man, trouble is already on us. If you would have told us, we could have got our weapons ready. See, we could have did something about it. You just, get them out the watchtower. You want somebody to come say, look, trouble's on the way. Do this. Adjust here. Make this adjustment. I see 1,000. I see 10,000 coming. You need a good watchman up there. You don't want nobody that's blind. You want somebody that can see something. You see trouble. I remember Brother Mike used to tell me that, brother, if you see this, tell me it's wrong. Don't tell me how to sin, because I already know how to do that. But I want to be right before God. So just tell me. Tell me like it is. Amen, church. We're looking at this man got it, and I'm just rebuking that spirit, the spirit of rebellion. Amen. Y'all join me in prayer on that. God, we rebuke the spirit of rebellion. Give us hearts that would humble ourselves before you. Let your word just shape us and make us and mold us into the people that you want us to be. We rebuke rebellion. Amen. Hallelujah. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. This is King Uzziah. It was the priest's duty to go in and burn the incense. But the king, because his kingdom was flourishing, because he was so blessed, that he thought he could just do whatever that he wanted to do. But look at what happens here. And Azariah the priest went in after him. Thank God for some Holy Ghost-filled preacher that will tell it like it is. Amen, church. Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. We need more like that. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Now they could have lost their lives right there, but no. God's word and God's work is more important than the king's word. See, God has established a certain thing that he wants it done a certain way, and this only the priest could do this. The king was not allowed to do it. See, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now, I think at this time, had the man repented and went out, everything would have been all right. But that's not what happened. Verse 19 says, then Uzziah was wroth. I mean, he was mad, angry that they corrected him. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Now, where did he get sick at, y'all? Where did he actually get sick at? He got sick in the house of the Lord. Brother Branham told some people one time he was praying for sick. He was praying for the sick, and he said, everybody bow your heads. Everybody bow your heads. Please bow your heads. We're going to pray for this person. Now just please, just in reverence, just bow your heads. For this pastor, a leader that will lead you anywhere. A wrong leader can lead you into anywhere, into anything. That's why you got to know who your leader is. You got to know who God gave you as your leader, right? But this this pastor had already told his congregation, look, when he tell us to bow our heads, nobody better not bow their heads. Nobody. We don't believe in this. If you don't believe in it, don't come to it. Right. don't come to it. But he said, don't anybody bow your hands. 28 people. The prophet said, okay, we want to pray for this person. Would you, everybody just bow your heads. So I'm just checking, the Holy Spirit checking. Everybody had anybody's now announced again. Would everybody please bow their heads? Please, you know, just out of respect, you know, we want to pray for the sick person here. Just please bow your heads. And I, when you bow your heads, then when these demons are cast out, they have nowhere to go, you know, so just please bow your heads out of respect. The pastor already told his congregation, so they, what they do, 28 people left their heads up, 28 of them. The prophet said, okay, all right, we're going to pray for this person, but anything that happens at this point forward, I'm not responsible for. I'm not responsible for. So this person had an epileptic demon in him. And Brother Branham prayed for the person at the pulpit. Cast that spirit out of that person. Epilepsy left him. Well, the devil needs somewhere to dwell. Because he can't do anything unless he has somebody to use. God can't do anything unless he has somebody to use. So the people, all 28 people, including the pastor, that did not bow their heads, that epileptic demon attacked all 28 of them. And they left the meeting. They came in fine, but because of disrespect, a rebellious spirit, they left the meeting with epilepsy. Church, we got to be careful. This is nothing to play with. I mean, you can get sick in church. That might be a good sermon someday. You know, the other people that was wrote on their prayer card, I got this and I got that and I got this and I got that. And they said, we're going to prove that this man is a phony. This prophet is a fake. He's a mind reader. I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. So Brother Branham praying and weary and tired and up there praying. And then this guy walks through and they say, Brother, oh, you well. God bless you. Everything is well. He's saying, no, I'm sick. No, you okay. I don't, everything's good. I mean, maybe you were sick, but you healed now, brother. You got, no, I'm sick. Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. Lord, begin the deal. You and so-and-so got together and y'all filled out this card and y'all did this and you said this, you got that, you got this, and you know that, and y'all did this just the other day. The man in the balcony raised up. That's nothing but the truth. See, he repenting. That's nothing but the truth. I'm sorry that I did that. That's nothing but the truth. The fellow on the platform is standing by himself, and he hasn't repented yet. Well, he should have said, I'm sorry before the prophet got the next few words out of his mouth. Because the prophet said, everything you put on that card is yours now because you came in here to try to tempt God. You shouldn't have let the devil anoint you to do that. So he got sick in church. And when he got sick, you know what he asked? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for you. I told you you was well. Now that you got that, you have to deal with the consequences. Oh, no. Yes. Next time, don't ever let the devil tempt you to do nothing like that. And I believe that man died in that condition. Church, we got to respect God. Let's read. Verse 19 says, Uzziah was wroth. Had a sense in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. As a leper, you actually had to be separated from the people. You couldn't be with the people. I mean, they put you outside the city and everything else. I mean, it was It was really terrible. This man, being a king, can't even live in his palace. His son has to take care of the duties of the king, the kingly duties, and not only that, notice that the Bible says that being a leper, he was cut off from the house of the Lord. That means he couldn't go to church. Couldn't go to church, couldn't be a king. What? Everything was lost. All because he got angry at the wrong time. And he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing in the first place. We have to respect God. We have to respect his word. We have to respect his order. If this is the way God does it, who are we to question it? Right? Who are we to question it? Let's just accept it and just move on. And as we look here with, you know, Saul did the exact same thing. The prophet gave him very specific instructions. The prophet was God's mouthpiece. That's how he spoke to his people. He spoke through the prophet. Samuel came and gave him exactly what he needed to do. He did not do it. He got in trouble. I just want to maybe catch a quote here. Yeah, the last quote that I have on the page there, influence in 1963. Let's just read that. Help us, Jesus. Says this. Notice we find that John humbled himself in the presence of God. Thing of it is, people, my brothers, sisters, and friends, is to be conscious of your littleness. See, don't be conscious of how big you are. Be conscious in how little you are. You're small. We're all that way. God can do without us, but we can't do without him. See, we can't do without him. But he can do without us. God is only trying to find one person he can get in his hands. He has always tried to do that. You notice all down through the Bible, when he found an Isaiah, when he found a Jeremiah, he found Samson one day, but Samson gave his strength to God, but he gave his heart to Delilah. See, you've got to give your all to God. Your reverence, your respects, you're everything that you are. Just be nothing. Just see how little you are. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's real humility. That's the way these seraphims are in his presence. You see, with their faces in reverence covered, their feet in humility. Very important, church, that we stay humble before God. It's very easy, you know, as we, you know, you look at Saul here, I think his life really speaks of many of us. You let God call us to a certain place, and we give, you know, I think about so many things. But I use, for example, a singer. Most singers do not just come out boldly singing when they first start. They're very shy. Maybe somebody at home hearing with a little voice, oh, you ought to sing that. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. And, you know, they encourage them. And finally, they come to church and they sing and they're a little shy, like, oh, boy, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But then after a few compliments and everybody said, man, that sounds good. Boy, that was really anointed. That was really this. That was really that. Well, you know what? You get lifted up. Right? And when you get lifted up, God got a way of just bringing you right back down. I'd have been there and I'd experienced that. I'd have experienced it. You know, I was telling a brother on the other week, I said, you know, even sometimes with preaching, you can have a gift in your life, but the gift is God. God anoints the gift. Don't ever think it's your gift, you know, and you this and you. No, you're nothing. We're all little. I was telling the brother, I said, you know, you come and you preach a sermon, and sometimes you get God give you a sermon that you enjoy preaching. See, and you just keep preaching. Oh, if it's your choice, I just keep preaching over and over again. But you get a compliment. Thank the Lord for the compliment. Next week, you got to go back and get another sermon. And God is not in competition. God ain't trying to outdo the last sermon. not God. God said, I just want my word to live. That's all I want. Now, you're going to have to get this. Sometimes it ain't going to be popular. You might get tomatoes thrown at you. But it's not about you. It's about me. And me trying to get my word out to my people. Sing is the same way. Sometimes you come up, boy, that song is anointed. Woo, everybody praising God. Then you get one that just, woo, can't wait for this one to be over. It's the truth anyhow. That's the way it is. God does that to keep us all humble. He does it to keep us all humble. And we ought to thank God for the process. Keep the word. God's word said it, and I mean, just like all he had to do was just wait. He had everything all laid out. This gonna happen, that's gonna happen, that's gonna happen. That's, and when you get to Gilgal, wait 7 days. Just wait 7 days. And you know, I look at that 7 days. We've been waiting 7 church ages for our Lord Jesus to return. Are we gonna give up now? Or are we just gonna keep waiting? There's many that nowadays they're giving up on the message. They see, God sent Paul, God sent Irenaeus, Martin Luther, Columbus, you know, all these, and Wesley. They see the whole thing, and we know Brother Branham was a prophet, but now they get to the part where they don't stop waiting, and they turn into going back to the denominational churches. God, I'm gonna stay right here, just waiting on you. I'm gonna hold on to this word. I heard one brother say, if this ain't that, I'm going to hold on to this until that comes. Stay with that word, church. Let's pray. God, we've been challenged tonight. We've been challenged, Lord, to not follow suit the way Saul did things. We also can look at Uzziah. He did something that he was not supposed to do. He put himself in the priest's office. And here we see Saul put himself in the place of the prophet. The burnt offering was supposed to have been done by the prophet. Saul is a king. His heart is lifted up. And that's what led to his destruction. So God help us to be respectful of the offices that you have set and the things that you have done, Lord, the words that you have set in place. Help us to be respectful and to be patient, to wait for every promise to be fulfilled. Don't let us get ahead of you. We create more problems when we do that. So help us always just to keep the word in our view and just to be patient, to wait for you to bring things to pass. If you promised it, Lord, you will not fail. You never fail. So God, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to apply what we've heard here tonight to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.